Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Kuf Vav. We are holding on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis at the two dots, four lines before the lines get very wide on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lizecha Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, Nisham Hashem, and Aliyah. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. The first thing we're going to discuss is we're going to continue talking about Shochat Dvarim, and specifically we're going to tell the story with Rav Anan relating to Shochat Dvarim and the aftermath of that story. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the great numbers of Talmidim who ate at the Rebbe's table after, at the end of the Zman, they would get up and they would sit and have a Su'udah with the Rebbeim. So we'll go through different people and how many Talmidim they each had eating at their table. Then the Gemara is going to discuss people who would get paid from the funds of the Trumas Halishcha. And we're going to identify eight groups of people that got paid from the funds of the Trumas Halishcha. And once we're talking about that, the Gemara is going to discuss throughout the entire Amud Beis what the different monies in the Beis HaMikdash were used to pay for. There were all different, all sorts of different funds, different, we'll identify six or seven different funds in the Beis HaMikdash. So what were they used to pay for? What was that money used for? So let's begin, again, four lines before the lines get wide, get very wide, on Daf Kufhei Amud Beis. So the Gemara brings a Maisa that relates to Shochad Dvarim, which is the topic we've been discussing. Rav Anan Aisilehu Gavra Kinto de Gildoni de Begili. He brought him a basket of small fish. So Amalei, Rav Anan said to the person, Maya Viditech, what are you doing here? Who are you? So Amalei, the person said, Dina Isli, I have a Din Torah, so I came for you to be done, my Din Torah. So Lo Kablamine, Rav Anan said, I can't accept your basket of fish. So Amalei, the fellow said, Pasilna, he said to that fellow, rather, Pasilna Lachladina, I can't be done you, even though I didn't accept the gift that you gave me. I still am not allowed to be a Dayan in your Din Torah. So when the person saw that Rav Anan was anyway not going to be the Dayan, so Amalei, he said to Rav Anan, Dina Demar Lo Bi'ina, I understand that you don't want to serve as my Dayan, but Kabuli Lekabel Marsa, at least take the basket of fish, meaning now that you've decided that you're not going to be a Dayan anyway, so take the gift, and it's not just stam that you should take the gift. I don't want you to prevent me from fulfilling the mitzvah of bringing bikurim, because apparently giving a gift to a Talmud Chacham is equivalent to bringing bikurim. It's as great as giving bikurim. So it says, if I'm doing the mitzvah of avas bikurim, detanya, how do I know that it says if he's doing the mitzvah of avas bikurim when you give a gift to a Talmud Chacham? Because the Braisa teaches us, v'ish ba mi bal shlisha, that a man came from bal shlisha, v'yavi le'ish ha'lokim lechem bikurim esrim lechem sa'orim, the Kamral Bitsiklono, that he brought to Elisha Hanavi, he brought Bikurim to Elisha. Tafyama coincidence, Elisha came back from Israel. So he brought Bikurim to Elisha. The Chi Elisha Ochel Bikurim Ava, was Elisha someone who ate Bikurim? Elisha wasn't a Kohen. In Divrei Yamim it says that Elisha's father was from Shevet Gad. That's what Rashi points out, is what bothers the Gemara, that it can't be that he actually brought Bikurim to Elisha, because Elisha's father was from Shevet Gad. Tosel says that no, the problem wasn't that Elisha is not a Kohen. The problem is that Elisha was in Shomron. He was not in Yerushalayim. And Bikurim can't be eaten, Chutz L'Choma, can't be eaten outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So the Afla explains, you know, why did Rashi not want to say like Tosos that Elisha was not in Yerushalayim? He says because the Gemara doesn't bring the Pasuk, that the continuation of the Pasuk, Vayitin L'Fneim Vayochelu, meaning apparently the actual bringing was the problem, not the eating of the Bikurim. Bikurim may not be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. You could bring them to wherever the Kohen is. Tosos didn't want to say like Rashi that it was about the fact that he wasn't a Kohen. In L'chora, that's very fundamental. Why didn't Tosos just say that? So he says because it could be that Elisha was willing to share it with his Talmidim or Kohanim, that it wasn't for him to be able to have it. Elisha, as we'll soon see, supported a lot of Talmidim. So maybe having the ability to give more food to his Talmidim in him, he must have had many Talmidim or Kohanim, maybe that's what he would have used it for. So either way, for whatever reason, the Gemara is bothered that there's no way that what they were bringing to Elisha was actually Bikurim. El Lomelchah is there to teach you that Kalamevi Doron L'Tam L'Chacham Ki'ilu Makrav Bikurim, that if a person brings a gift to a Tam L'Chacham, it's as if he's being Makrav Bikurim. The Iyun Yaakov explains the comparison between a gift to a Tam L'Chacham and Bikurim is that Bikurim is a way of indicating that a person has hakaras hatov, that he's not a kafri tova, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a land that produces fruits, so he's showing hakaras hatov by bringing the bikurim, the first fruits of that land, to the Beis Hashem. So someone brings the Doron, the Talmud Chacham says the Iyun Yaakov, it's showing an appreciation that the Talmud Chacham's Torah is what provides protection. That's what the Gemara say in the first parak of Maseches Baba Basra, that Talmidei Chacham are exempt from certain taxes that involve protection, because the Torah itself serves as the protection. Often when people give gifts to the Talmud Chacham, it's because of a particular favor the Talmud Chacham did. That's not what the Iyun Yaakov says. Not because he did something for you, because it's the koach of the Torah. It's not the rabbi, it's the kolel guy. It's the guy who's sitting and learning all day. The koach of the Torah that serves to protect, that a person should have appreciation for. So Ravanan said, you know what? You make a good argument. Initially, I didn't want to take your basket of fruits, but you're right. Now that I'm not going to be your dayan anyway, I'm not going to be on your din Torah anyway, so I'll take the basket of fish it was. I'll take the basket of fish that you gave to me. You make a good argument. Why should I prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah of Avos Bikurim? So Shadrei L'Chamed Rav Nachman, since Rav Anan couldn't hear this case, he sent the case to Rav Nachman. He referred him to a different Beis Din. So Shalach Lei Nidai Nimar Lahai Gavra, Rav Anan sent to Rav Nachman, please judge the case of this man. And he didn't explain why. He just said, because I'm puzzled to be a dayan for him. So Amar Rav Nachman said to me, "Deshalach lihachi." Oof, Rav Anan is saying that he's puzzled to be a dayan for this guy. Shema mina krevehu, must be that he's a relative of Rav Anan. So Avakoyim dina diyasmi kamei. Rav Nachman was either machlokes rishonim, either in middle of a din Torah involving yisomim, or was about to start a din Torah involving Yisomim, and Omer of Nachman said, Hayasei v'hayasei, to deal with the din Torah in either event is a mitzvah sasei of u'shvat tem tzedek. So asei de kavod Torah adif, the asei of kavod Torah should take precedence, therefore, over the asei of just the regular asei of u'shvat tem tzedek, of dealing with the case of the Yisomim. The Ritva writes that the mitzvah sasei of kavod Talmud Chacham is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah to be mechabed the relatives of Talmud Chacham is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So he said, let the mitzvah d'rabbanan be machriya, that in either case it's u'shvat tem tzedek, but the mitzvah d'rabbanan being mechabed a relative of Rav Anan, which this guy must be, because Rav Anan said that he's possible to be a dayan for him, so that should motivate me to take that case first. So Salki Lidina Diasmi Rav Nachman pushed aside the Din Torah involving the Yisomim, Va'achte Lidine, and instead he dealt with the case of the Din Torah of this fellow who had brought the basket of fish to Rav Anan. Kibin the Chaza Baldina Yakra the Kavodai, when the other party in the Din Torah saw the Kavod that Rav Nachman was giving to this supposed relative of Rav Anan, he became very intimidated, Vistatim Tanase, and he was unable to talk. He couldn't say anything. He thought that it was already fait accompli. He thought that it was already a done deal that the other guy was going to win because he was a relative of the great Rav Anan. Rav Anan have a regular Eliyahu da'asi l'gabei da'asi gabei. Rav Anan used to have a relationship with Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi used to experience Gilui Eliyahu all the time. Da'avimasni seder Eliyahu, and here they would have a chavrusa that Eliyahu HaNavi would teach him seder Eliyahu. Kivin da'avir hachi. But once this maisa happened, where there was a perversion of justice on account of what Rav Nachman did, because Rav Nachman didn't explain that this fellow was not his, Rav Anan didn't explain that this fellow was not his relative. So Stalik, so Leo stopped coming to visit Rav Anan and to learn with him. So Yasbat Bitaniso by Rachmi Va'asa. So Rav Anan fasted and he davened, and Eliyahu HaNavi came back. But Kiyasa have mavid le beusei. When Eliyahu HaNavi returned, he frightened Rav Anan. So the Yotzar Gonim, he says, why did he frighten Rav Anan? Because Eliyahu comes in two forms. He either comes in the form of a person, or he comes in the form of a malach. So up until that point, he was coming in the form of a person, so that wasn't so frightening. But now he was coming in the form of a malach, so that was really frightening for him. He had never seen a malach in the form of a malach before. So Rav Anan had to build himself a box in order to learn from him, so that he could carry on the chavrusa without being terribly physically intimidated. The Marsha says that the reason he was punished in that way was Mida Keneged Mida, because this whole thing happened because he caused it that the Baal Din was too afraid to be Mesader Ta'anosav, to make his arguments properly. So the punishment of Rav Nachman was that he too was intimidated, that he too was too afraid to be able to directly interact with Eliyahu HaNavi. Ben Yoyada says that it's a Mida Keneged Mida in terms of the box, that Rav Anan was Mechase Devarav, that he was cryptic about what his relationship was with the person, that he covered things up. So he had to remain covered up while he was learning with Eliyahu HaNavi when Eliyahu came in the form of a Malach. So V'ayinu Da'amri Seder Eliyahu Rabba V'Seder Eliyahu Zuta. And this is what people refer to when they talk about the Seder Eliyahu Rabba and the Seder Eliyahu Zuta. These were the two Chavrusa sessions that Eliyahu HaNavi had with Rav Anan. One was when he came in the form of a person, they were able to learn directly, that Seder Eliyahu Rabba. And then there's when they weren't able to learn directly, when Rav Anan had to sit in a box and Eliyahu was in the form of a Malach, that is Seder Eliyahu Zuta. Seder Eliyahu Rabba and Seder Eliyahu Zuta, the Chidor writes in Shema Gedolim, they're both called Tana de Bei Eliyahu. So you have throughout Shas Tana de Bei Eliyahu, so it's either Seder Eliyahu Rabba, Seder Eliyahu Zuta, but you always know that that's Eliyahu HaNavi that it's referring to. It seems pretty explicit that way in the Gemara in the beginning of Masech Shabbos, where the Gemara tells the story of a Tana de Bei Eliyahu, of a Talmud that died Bechati Yamav, and his wife was also Brachim, and she would challenge people, why did my husband die young? So the Tana de Bei Eliyahu says that Pam Achas Nisarachti Etzla, I once visited this woman, and I explained to her, no one else wanted to answer why your husband died young. I explained to her why your husband died young. Sounds like it would be something that a Navi would do. All the Talmid Chacham didn't know why someone died young. How are you going to explain that? But Navi is able to do that. So it sounds like it's Eliyahu HaNavi. The problem is that in the Be'er Sheva, he writes that Tanda Be'Eliyahu, he says, Al Tita, don't make a mistake to think that Tanda Be'Eliyahu is Eliyahu HaNavi, but rather it's a particular Tana named Eliyahu, and that's Tanda Be'Eliyahu, and he brings a Raya from something the Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos. So the Chidah says he does not understand where the Be'er Sheva got this from. He says, where is this Tana Eliyahu hiding throughout the rest of Shas? Meaning he only appears in Tana de Be'Eliyahu's, and nowhere else do we have such a Tana named Eliyahu. Very hard to imagine, and therefore it's much more likely what we're saying over here, that this is the Tana de Be'Eliyahu that was actually taught by Eliyahu HaNavi. So once we mention what happened with Elisha HaNavi, and that it was in time of famine of Elisha HaNavi that they brought food. So B'Shnei D'Rav Yosef HaVeritcha, the Gemara tells other stories that relate to Rebbeim feeding their Talmidim. So B'Shnei D'Rav Yosef HaVeritcha, during Rav Yosef's lifetime, there was HaKadosh Baruch was angry, and he therefore brought a famine into the world. So Amrile Rabbanan Rav Yosef Libayu Marachmi. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Yosef, you should daven for us that the famine should end. So Amrilehu Hashta Uma Elisha. He said, let's try to make a Kavul Chomer. Elisha, who was such a great person, he was Melamid to so many Talmidim, and he had such a great Zuchus of Torah. That's the way we showed him understand that. He's saying, not that Elisha was a Navi and I'm not a Navi. Okay, he lived in a generation of Nevi'im, and Yiftach Bedoro Kishmol Bedoro. But he's saying in every generation you could be Marbitz Torah, and look at how much Harbatzas HaTorah Elisha had. So the Chevar Rabbanu Miftari Mikameh, that when the Talmidim would get up from Elisha, Vupayshi Treyalfi Umasun Rabbanan, there remained 12,200 Talmidim that stayed and had a meal with him. Meaning at the end of this month they had a Sudas Preda, and at the Sudas Preda there were over 12,000 Talmidim, the amount of Harbatzas HaTorah that Elisha was involved in. Bidin Ritcha Lo'avabayu Rachmi, and still when Hashem got angry, he wasn't Mevakish Rachmim, he didn't have an Boy Rachmi, so I'm going to go do that. Who am I? I don't have that kind of Zuchus of Arbatzos HaTorah, that I'm going to go and be Mevakish Rachmim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. So the Achronim are bothered by, what kind of comment is that? That's what we're supposed to do. That when a person is experiencing an Eis Tzara, that's when there's a mitzvah da raisa to daven, according to all Rishonim, at a time of Tzara. The Gemara and Tainus stuff, you and all the Gemaras in Tainus, all the story after story of davening in times of an Eis Tzara. So the Marsha writes, so when it says that you're not supposed to daven for a famine, that's Davka when there's a lack of rain, and because of that, grain is very expensive. And it's more of a dechak situation than people starving to death. It's just that people, things are very expensive. There's inflation or whatever, but it's not that people are starving to death. So then you don't daven. When people are starving to death, you got to daven. That's a true Eitz Tzara. Pnei Yeshua suggests that when Rabbi Yochanan says he's not going to be mevakesh rachamim, it's because he knew that it was an Idan Ritcha. He knew that it was a time of God's anger. And he brings a raya from the Maisa of Elisha, which was who did Maisa Nisim in order to make sure that the small amount of bread that they had was going to be able to supply everybody. So he performed miracles rather than trying to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be Idan Ritcha. So apparently, even when it comes to approaching Hashem, you have to know when to approach the Ribbono Shel. But again, very hard to figure that out. Whenever it's an Eitz Tzara, we have a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. So the Gemara explains, might the Paishi Yachi, how did they know that there were 2,200 Talmidim that ate at Elisha's table? Where did we get that number from? The Chassid, because the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis, when when a man brought bread, Mibal Shlisha, so it says, Ve'yomer Meshar, so Ma Etin Zel, if name Meo Ish. Is this bread going to suffice for 100 people who are eating here? So Ma'ilif Ne'me'a Ish, what does it mean, 100 people that are eating here? Ilim Dekululif Ne'me'a Ish, if you're going to tell me that the entire matana of bread, of 22 loaves of bread that he brought, was for Me'a Ish, so B'shnei B'tzoros Tuba Havu, that's very generous portions for years of famine, that there's going to be 22 loaves of bread for Me'a Ish, that sounds plenty. Elo Dekol Chad V'chad Kamim Me'a Ish. No, what he was saying is 22 loaves of bread in each one is supposed to support Me'a Ish. Ooh, so now I know that if you're 22 loaves of bread and they did the math and they realized that each one was supposed to support Me'a Ish, there must have been 2,200 Talmidim that were there. So it was Alpayim Umasayim Talmidim. So the Gemara brings other Amorayim, other Gedolim, and particularly Amorayim, that had a lot of Talmidim eating at their table. When the Talmidim would leave the Beirav, Havu Paisha Alfa Masr Rabbanan, there remained 1,200 Talmidim. And Mibe Rafuna, when they would leave Rafuna, Havu Paisha Timni Me Rabbanan, 800 Rabbanan would remain to have a Sudas Preda with him. Rafuna Vadarish Betzleis Ramarai, when Rafuna would say drasha, they needed 13 different people to serve as projectors of his voice, to serve as like human microphones for Rav Huna. Does, you know, was strategically placed throughout the room so that they could project the shir to a great distance because he had so many talmidim that were listening. Now we have microphones, but when the Rabbanan would get up from the Beis Medrash of Rav Huna and they would shake off their clothing from the dirt that was on their clothing from sitting on the floor, the dirt cloud that came up from their shaking out their clothing covered the daylight. It was like a sandstorm where it seemed like nighttime in the middle of the day. And in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, his shir was in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they would say, oh, kamalei mim siftad rafuna bavla. I guess Rafuna's shir is over because we can't see the sun anymore because there's so much dirt that's covering up the sunlight. So the Ben Yoyada writes, not mistaver, that when a shir ends in Bavel, no matter how much dirt there was, that when a shir ends in Bavel, they'd get up, they'd shake their clothing off, and they wouldn't be able to see the sunlight in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ben Yoyada says, it must have been bedarach neis lekavod haTorah that such a thing happened. That was a way of indicating to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The Marit and the Bnei Yeshua say that no, it wasn't actually seen from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. It's just that when there would be a sandstorm in Eretz Yisrael or something like that, there would be a lot of dirt in Eretz Yisrael. It was an expression that they would say. They would say, ah, this is like when Rav Huna ended Shir, because that was the, like you have a lot of Yiddishisms that are really based on Mamari Chazal and bits of Torah. So if you're also, this was like an expression that made its way into the language, that whenever there was a lot of dirt that went up, they said, ah, this is the end of Rav Huna's shir, because there were so many Talmidim by Rav Huna's shir. When the Talmidim would leave, Rabba and Rav Yosef, 400 Rabbanim would remain, and Rabba and Rav Yosef would say, we're like Yesomim, because in comparison to Rav Huna, he had 800 Talmidim, we only have half that amount. When the Rabbanim would leave Abayi's shir, Rav Papa. Some say Rav Papa Shir, Ramilam be Ravashi, Ravashi Shir, have a Paishi Mas and Rabbanan. There were 200 Talmidim that remained behind. Karin of Shayu, Yasmi Tiasmi. And we said, and they said that they were Yisomim of Yisomim. Rav Huna had 800. Rabban of Yosef had 400. We only have 200. So now the Gemara tells us, once we mention that the Shnei Dayanei Gzeros in Yerushalayim would take their schar from the Trumas Alishcha, they'd get paid from the Trumas Alishcha, the Gemara is now going to identify eight other groups of people that also got paid from the Trumas Alishcha. So number one, Amar Yitzchak Bar Difa Amar Avami, Mevakrei Mumin Shebi Yerushalayim Hayinotan Schar Mitrumas Alishcha. The people who were experts in the Mumin on a Behema, and they would people would bring their animals to them, and they would be able to tell you whether it was a Mum Kavua, and therefore the animal was possible for them, if it was mum over, you just had to wait till it healed, and it was kosher for the mizbech, they would get paid. These experts would get paid from the Trumas Halishcha. Now, there are two reasons why you would have to be able to identify a mum and see whether it's a mum kavua or a mum over. One is for a bechor behema tahara, that if it has a mum, it becomes chulin, and the kohen is able to shecht it and eat it outside of the azara. And the second is for a karban, that if it has a mum, it becomes possible to be brought on the mizbech, not just for a bechor, but for any korban. So Maseches Bechoros, it says that you're not allowed to get paid to look at a mum on a bechor, because we're choshet that a person's going to be matar bechor in order to be mekabel deschar, in order to get paid more. So you're not allowed to take money for that. So Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel Mevakrei, Tosos points out that the Gemara about the Mevakrei Mumin must be about the other type of Mevakrei Mumin, not for a bechor bei matara, but for kudshim, that they were mevaker the movement. Or he says it could be, Tosos says that it could be that the Gemara is talking about Mumei Bechor as well, and they were allowed in Yerushalayim to take schar because it was schar batala. They weren't doing in Yerushalayim. It was so busy with looking at the movement that they had to take schar batala. They couldn't do any other job, so for that they were allowed to do. So anyway, that's group number one that got paid from Trumas Halishcha. Amar Avi Domar Shmuel, Tamid Chamam Lamdin Hilchos Shechita LeKohanim, Hayinotan Schar Min Trumas Halishcha. The Tamid Chamam would teach Shechita to the Kohanim would take their payment from Trumas Halishcha. That's also somewhat troubling. What do you mean? Tamid Chamam would teach Shechita to Kohanim? Shechita is Ksher Bizar. Why do Kohanim need to learn Shechita any more than anybody else needs to learn Shechita? So the Marash Sirilo and the Yerushalmi and Shkalim, it's quoted by all the Achronim over here, says that that Shechita is Kasher Bizar. Nevertheless, the Kohanim would try to keep it for themselves. So since the Kohanim were running the show in the Beis HaMikdash, they would try to do all the Shechita themselves also. So they wanted to be well trained in the Shechita. A third group, Amar Rav Gidol Merav, Tamid Chacham Amelamdim Hilchos Kmitza LeKohanim, Noten Schar Mitzvos Lishcha. The Talmid Chacham who taught Kmitza for a Karban Milcha to Kohanim also got paid from the Trumas Halishcha. Kmitza's, right, the Gemara Megillah says that that's what Mordechai was teaching when Haman came, right, to be Mechabed him, that he was teaching Kmitza to the Talmidim. So Kmitza is apparently not so pashut, it's not so easy to pull off a Kmitza. Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Magiyei Svarim Shebi Yerushalayim, Hayinotan Schar Min Trumas Halishcha. A fourth group, the people who would correct the Sfarim in Yerushalayim. Everyone would bring their Sfarim and they would get paid from the Trumas Halishcha. And the reason the reason they would allow that these people to get paid from the Trumas Halishcha, Rashi points out, is that if they didn't get them paid from the Trumas Halishcha, and it will cost a lot of money to be Magia your Sfarim, you'll end up just not being Magia your Sfarim. People will just leave Sfarim with mistakes in their house, and that's a problem, because the Pasuk says Al Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla, and the Gemara Darshan Al Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla means a Sefer Sheino Muga, that you're not allowed to leave a Sefer that's not correct around your house. You have to fix it as soon as you can. So therefore, they would use the Trumas Halishcha funds to pay the Sofrim who are going to be able to fix the Sfarim so that people wouldn't have to pay out of pocket. According to Rashi, Bezin was mafkir the Trumas Halishcha for something that has nothing to do with Hekdish whatsoever. The Ravid, according to Shittim Kubetzes, says that no, it means the Magia Sfarim, for the Sfarim that the Kohanim would use to learn the Halachos of the Avoda. So it was something that was the Tzorach Hekdish. They wouldn't have used Shumus Halishcha to pay for something that's got nothing to do with Hagdish. Okay, a fifth group. Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Nashimar Orgos Peparochos Scharim Shumus Halishcha. The women who would weave the parochas would take their payment from Shumus Halishcha. Vani Omer Mikatche Bet Kabayis Hol Parochos Tachas Binyan Asuyos. But he says, I disagree. I think that they would get paid from the Katche Bet Kabayis because the parochas took the place of a wall of actual binyan, meaning in the second base of Mikdash, which was taller, they couldn't have a wall that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they had two parochas, they had two curtains, but that took the place of a wall. So that's considered the tzor of binyan. So they wouldn't use the Shumas Alishcha to pay for binyan. So ask the Gemara, Meisvei Nashamargos Parochas Beis Garmel Al Ma'aseh Lechem Apanim, which by the way is group number 6, the Beis Garmel Al Ma'aseh Lechem Apanim, who Beis Avtinas Al Ma'aseh Ketores, and the Beis Avtinas who were appointed to take care of the Ketores. All of them would get paid from the Shumas Halishcha. But this Brisa, you see, is against Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says that the women who weaved the parochas would get paid from Katshe Bet HaKabayis. And here you have Beferish in the Brisa, they got paid from Shumas Halishcha. So it says, no, Hasam Bidabavi. The Brisa is talking about parochas that they had by the gates of the Heichal and the Azara, which were not really a part of the binyan. They were just made with Tznius Bialma. They were just made to cover up the doorway. But something that was actually part of the binyan, Eino Chinami, would come from the Katshe Bet HaKabayis and not from the Tshumas Halishcha. That's the Shaila that in the Tshuvas Torah Lashma, he was asked about a Gevir came to a town and he gave a big check for Binyan Beis HaKnesses. He said Beferish that it's the Tzorach Binyan Beis HaKnesses. So the Gabayim wanted to know, can they pay for the parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh? Can they pay for the curtains on the windows? Can they use that? Is that considered Binyan Beis HaKnesses? So he brought a riot from this Gemara. He says, parochas, it really depends what its function is. If it's only the Tznius HaBialma, he said one of the parochas that they needed was a parochas by the Ezras Nashim, to block off the Ezras Nashim, which you would think means like a mechitza. He said, no, women never came to daven. It was just, there were people that would pass by all the time in the Ezras Nashim, and it was distracting to the mespallelim, so they would hang a curtain there. So whatever the issue was, they wanted to know, can they use, so he said, whatever parochas is Litzorach Binyan, you're allowed to use it for. Whatever parochas is Litzorach Tznius HaBialma, which is most of the parochas that you're describing. Parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh is considered Litzorach Tznius HaBialma. It's to give a sense of dignity to the Sifrei Torah that they should be covered. So that's considered Litzorach Tznius HaBialma. That can't come from Bet HaKabayis. There were 13 parochas in the Mikdash, that B'mikdasheni, in the second base of Mikdash. Shiva, Keneged Shiva Sha'arim, 7 by the 7 gates of the Azara. Echol, the Pisco Shal Heichol, 1 for the entrance of the Heichol, the Echol, the Pisco Shal Ulam, 1 for the entrance of the Ulam. So now we're up to 9. Shnayim B'dvir, then they had 2 in the Dvir, meaning the place that separated the Heichol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Shnayim Keneged Ma'aliyah, and 2 more and above the Heichol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to separate between the Aliyas Heichol and the Aliyas Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's the 13. And then a final group. Tan Rabban, Noshim HaMagadlos B'nei L'Parah, the women who would raise their children in absolute tahara in order to be involved in the drawing of the water that they can use for the mechatos, for the paraduma, they also would get paid from the Tshumas Halishcha. The wealthy women of Yerushalayim used to provide them with their mezonos. They used to take care of them. They didn't need to take from the Tshumas Halishcha in order to pay for them. So now the rest of the daf is going to discuss all the other funds, all the other monies in the Beis HaMikdash and what they were used for. So a little bit of background. Every year, everyone would bring a machzah shekel, and they would put it in the lishcha, and that machzah shekel was meant to pay for the karbanos, for the tamidim and the musafim, the karbanos tzibur that all of Klal Yisrael is supposed to pay for. All of Klal Yisrael are participants in all the karbanos tzibur. So they would put them in the lishcha, and then they would take 3 boxes of shkalim, and from those 3 boxes, they would buy all the karbanos tzibur. So 3 times they'd be toreim the lishcha, prosa pesach, prosa tzeres, prosa chag, 15 days before each of the Yom Tovim, each of the Regalim, and the money that was in those boxes, that's called the true Mas Halishcha. That's what they would use to buy the Karbanos and the other things that were done with the Trumas HaLishcha, which is what we've been talking about. Then, in those boxes sometimes, there were some leftover money. Rosh Chodesh Nisan came, and it's time to take from the new monies, and there was still some leftover money that was in those boxes. And that's called the Mosar HaTruma. And then, there was the money that was left in the Lishcha that was never Torah from the Lishcha, that never made it into the boxes in the first place. That's called the Shiyare HaLishcha. And whatever was left from that money after they spent whatever they're supposed to spend, Litzarech Binyan Ha'ir, that's called the Mosar Shiyarei HaLishcha, the rest of the money that was in the room. And in addition to that, there was also money that was designated for Bet Gabayis, that people would be Menadeh for Bet Gabayis. There was Mosar Nesachim, if they would, people would... They would sell solas and yayin for the Nesachim, and they would make some money off of that. There was Moser Peros, where the Hagdish would make some money on selling the yayin and the shemen and the solas for people's purposes that they needed for the karbanos. So there was money for that. So now the rest of the daf is going to discuss what all that money paid for. They had all this extra money. So Baimine Rafuna Meirav, Rafuna Asramav, clay shares, the kelim that they would use as the clay shares for bringing the karbanos on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach HaChitzon itself is Katshe Bet HaKabayis, was paid for with Katshe Bet HaKabayis because it's Binyan. But the Klei Sharis, Mao Sheyasim Katshe Bet HaKabayis, can they also be made from the Katshe Bet HaKabayis? Do we assume Tzorech Mizbeach Ninum, Katshe Bet HaKabayis assume that since they are there to function, to service the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is paid for with Katshe Bet HaKabayis, so the Klei Sharis also could be paid for the Katshe Bet HaKabayis? O Tzorech Karban Ninum, Chumas HaLishcha Yosna San. Or do we view them as a Tzorech Karban, and therefore they come from Trumas HaLishcha, because it's like the Karban Tzibur, meaning it's the intermediary between the Mizbeach and the Karbanos, the Klei Sharis. So what do we, which category do we put them in? Karban category or Mizbeach category? Now the Shidim Gwetzis points out that it's not clear whether the question is generally what the Klei Sharis, how the Klei Sharis were paid for, or whether we know that the Klei Sharis generally were generally made from. But the question was, what if there was a need, are you allowed to use Katshe Bet HaKabayis? Meaning the Shidim Gwetz understands that it's possible that, of course, generally the Klei Sharis were paid for the Trumas HaLishcha. The Shail is, can you also use Katshe Bet HaKabayis to pay for the Klei Sharis? So Amalei, so Rav responded, Ein Nasan Elam Trumas HaLishcha. No, it's only Trumas HaLishcha. Say, Rav Huna challenges Rav. The pasuk says, "Uchalosa mevilif me'amelech v'yo yada shara kesav v'ya aseu kelim lebeis Hashem klei shareis." So it's talking about money that they would give for Bet HaKabayis, and the pasuk says that after they finished using the money for Bet HaKabayis, whatever money was left over that was donated for Bet HaKabayis was instead used for klei shareis. So you see that they used it for klei shareis. Money for Bet HaKabayis was used for klei shareis. So Amalei, Rav said to Rav Huna, "Da akariach ksuvi lo akariach nevi." Unbelievable. Whoever taught you Tanakh forgot to teach you Nevi'im. He only taught you Ksuvim. You're quoting me a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. There's a pasuk in Malachim Beis that Ach lo ye oseh Beis Hashem Sipos and Kilo oseh Amalacha Yitnuhu. So the pasuk is Mufurish that they would only make from that they didn't make Klei Shareis from Katshe Bet HaKabayis. So frankly, Mari Ihachi Kashakro Adadi. Forget about the fact that he didn't know the pasuk in Navi. It's a stira between the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. Did Katshe Bet HaKabayis pay for the Klei Sharis or not? So it says Malo Kasha, Kansha Gavav Asiru, Kansha Gavav Lo Asiru. The pasuk in Divrei Yom, where they said that the Klei Sharis was paid for with Katshe Bet HaKabayis, is talking about a case where they already paid for all the normal Bet HaKabayis needs. And once they paid for the Bet HaKabayis needs, they had leftover money, they would use that to pay for Klei Sharis. Pasuk in Malachim was talking about when it says that you can't use Katshe Bet HaKabayis for Klei Sharis, is when they didn't yet pay for all the Bet HaKabayis needs. So that has to come first before you start paying for Klei Sharis with Katshe Bet HaKabayis. So asking Mar V'chigav L'Sir Mayhavi, even if the Pasuk in Divrei Yom is talking about what they had left over, how are they allowed to use it for Klei Sharis? That's not what the donors had in mind. The people who donated that money had in mind that they're giving it for Bet HaKabayis. So Mar V'yavo, Lev Bezin Masalehen, that Bezin is allowed when initially when the people brought that money, the Beis Din is allowed to make it tonight that it's that whatever extra they have could be used for other purposes. They're able to make it tonight that if it's needed for Katshe Bedek Abayis, so if it's needed for Bedek Abayis, we'll use it for that. But if it's not needed, if all of it's not needed for Bedek Abayis, we'll use it for Klei Sharis. Talmud to be Rabbi Shmuel, Klei Sharis, but in Mitzumas Halishcha, the Klei Sharis came from the Trumas Halishcha Shneamar Eshara Kesef, like the Pasuk in Devarim says, Ezu Kesef Sheisha Shiraim, Haviyomer is that Trumas Halishcha. Which Kesef is Shara Kesef has Shiraim? That's the Trumas Halishcha, because it's not all used for Korbanos Tzibur. They would take these boxes and whatever was left in the Lishcha. So you see, Beferish in the Pasuk that Klei Sharis come from Trumas Halishcha. So how do I know that Shara Kesef means Trumas Halishcha? Vemishiraim Gufayu. Maybe it means the Shiraim themselves, meaning the money that's left in the Lishcha. How do I know that it's the Truma Salishcha, the Shiraim of the Truma Salishcha? So Kedam Rava, because Rava said, Ha'ola Ola Rishona, just like we darshan, that Ha'ola means Ola Rishona, means the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. So Hachinami, we darshan the Pasuk when it says, Ha Kesef, Kesef Rishon, the first Kesef. That means the Kesef that was put into the boxes. So it's not talking about the money that was left on the floor in the Lishcha, it's talking about the money that was left in the boxes after they paid for the Karbanos HaTzibur. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges HaKetoris for Kol Karbanos HaTzibur Batin Mitzumas HaLishcha. The Ketoris and all the Karbanos HaTzibur were paid for the Mitzumas HaLishcha. Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is the Mizbeach HaPnimi that was in the Heichel and was a Kli and was not Mechuber Lekarka. It was not considered to be Binyan, it was considered to be a Kli. Ulevona Ukli Sharis, and the Levona and the Kli Sharis Batin Mimosar Nesachim. That came from the Mosar Nesachim, from the left, the extra money that they had from buying the Nesachim, because Hegdash always had a deal with Nesachim suppliers at a certain price at the beginning of the year. And then if the price would change, Hegdash was locked into that price. So even if the price would go up, they would be able to continue to buy at that price. And if the price would go down, then they were able to get at the lower price. So they always had Yadam Al Elyona, so sometimes they had extra monies. So Mizbeach HaOlah, so they were able to buy it at a lower price sometimes and sell it at a higher price to people who needed it. So it was they made some money sometimes. So Mizbeach HaOlah, the Mizbeach HaOlah Shachos HaZaros Bad Mikatcha Bet HaKabayis Chutz L'Chomas HaZara, except for the Chomas HaZara Bad Mishiori El Shachos. That came from Mishiori El Shachos. Zu Shashninu Chomas Yer Meglosev Kalt Tzarech Yer Bad Mishiori El Ishcha. So bottom line is, you see that the Klei Sharis came from the Moser Nesachim, and not like all the Amoraim said that it comes from the Trumas HaLishcha. So what paid for the Klei Sharis? Was it the Moser Nesachim or is it the Trumas HaLishcha? So it says Mar Tanayihi, it's a Machlokas Tanayim. Some hold it came from the Moser Trumas HaLishcha and some from the Moser Nesachim. Tanan Moser Truma, the leftover Trumas HaLishcha that was left in the boxes after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where you couldn't use that money for the Korbanos HaTzibur anymore. Mahayu Osin, but what did they do with it? Rukwezav Tzipoy Lebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim. They would buy gold plating for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Moser Peiros, the extra Peiros, the profits that Hegdash would make with Peiros, Leketz HaMizbeach, would be used to buy Korbanos to keep the Mizbeach busy when the Mizbeach was otherwise not busy. Moser Truma leKlei Sharis, and the leftover of the Truma was for Klei Sharis. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, not like the Tanakama and not like Rabbi Shmuel. Moser Truma leKetz HaMizbeach. The Moser Truma was used to keep the Mizbeach busy. Moser Nesachim leKlei Sharis. And Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Moser Nesachim leKetz HaMizbeach. The leftover Nesachim was for Ketz HaMizbeach. Moser Truma leKlei Sharis. And the Moser Truma was for Klei Sharis. But Vizeh, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Lo Ayimodim Peperos, they thought that there is no such thing as Moser Peros. Beis Din was not, the Beis HaMikdash rather, was not making money on Peros. They wouldn't do Schora with the Peros. So the Gemara brings a Braisa and a Mishnah that explained this Indian of Moser Peros, and what the Machlokas Tanoim about is whether as to whether Moser Peros exists. So Peros Maihi, what money did Hegdash have that was called Moser Peros? So the Gemara brings a Braisa. D'tanya, Moser Truma, the leftover money of from the Truma Salish, they would buy cheap peros and they would sell it at a higher price. And the money that they would make off of that business endeavor was used to keep the Mizbeach busy. That's the Moser Peros. in Peros. Why are there Tanaim that thought that there were no Moser Peros? Zitanan, Moser Shari Elishcha Mayos and Ben. What did they do with the extra Shari Elishcha? Lochem Ben Yenu Shmanu Muslasos. They would buy wine, oil, and flour. Vasachar LaHegdish. And when they would sell it for a higher price, they made money and that went to Hegdish. Div Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Kiva, remember, Ein Mistakram Mishal Hegdish. You can't make a business endeavor and make money off of Hegdish funds. Aflo Bishalaniyim. And not only that, with tzedakah funds, you can't do it either. Bishal Hegdish, my time alone. Why can't you make money off of Hegdish funds? Because Ein Anius B'makam Ashirus. Hegdish never looked like it's desperate for money, that it's trying to pinch pennies. So Ein Anius B'makam Ashirus. Bishal Aniyim, my time alone. And why can't you invest money that was designated for tzedakah? Because an Ani might show up and you're not going to have funds for him. You're not going to have the liquidity to be able to supply the Ani when he shows up to get paid. There's Yerushalmi and Shkalim that says, no, the problem is it's a risk with funds for Aniyim. It's very Nogei Lemaisa. Very often, you know, there's a tzedakah that you need to collect for it, and tzedakahs they make a major collection, and they have millions of dollars sometimes, and they can't just distribute it all right away. It's meant to supply for years to come. So what do you do with that money? You keep it in a mattress somewhere? Meaning, how do they not invest that money in some way or another? But it's not so possible that you're allowed to invest that money with any sort of investment that has even minimal risk or that takes away the liquidity, the ability to use that money. So that is this sugya that we're not going to go into now. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up two dots at the bottom.